already 13 years and 15 years old, but just imagine a small child of only 5 years. Very small. And so when his mother died, he understood very clearly that now, in fact, like always, but especially now, he was absolutely in the hands of God. There was no protector. The mother had gone. So knowing that he was in the hands of the Lord, he went on a big, big journey to find the Lord of his heart. And in his wanderings, he came to a lake. And there he satiated his thirst, he drank, and he also bathed afterwards, and fully refreshed, he now began to dedicate his time to his main quest, his main journey, his main desire. Narada Muni wanted to find God. So all he knew were the instructions of the saints, the sadhus, who had come to his home when his mother was still alive. Do you know during which time these saints came to his house? It was Chaturmasya, and it was the rainy season. The paths were unpassable. It was flooded with water. So the saints had taken shelter in the house of his mother. It must have been very small place, and I think his mother left the two rooms or the one room in the little cottage for the saints and slept at the house of one brahmana where she did regular seva, regular service. So Narada Muni only had are you focusing on the subject or on the
they're very active behind
you. Yes. Or on the you can choose between looking at people arranging loudspeakers or listening. I think you're spiritualists. You will easily choose what you will concentrate on. I will stop until this is finished because you will only look at loudspeakers.
See, they all have their ideas how it should happen.
Isn't this loud enough? I think so. So our two loudspeaker people, you can sit down now, being satisfied at heart that you fulfilled your sacred duty. Yes? So, Narada Muni knew only one way to find the Lord. He had said earlier that although the Lord has no material form, he is amutikam, without form, he still has one form, the mantra murti. He has a form composed out of sound vibration, the mantra murti. So he had received mantras, and with these mantras he went into meditation. One of his mantras was Om Namo Bhagavate Tubhyam, no? Vasudeva, and so on and so forth. So he performed this mantra meditation, and it is described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. As he sat, not under a pine tree, it was a banyan tree, nearby this lake, all of a sudden he heard the tinkling of anchor bells. Ooh, someone who was wearing anchor bells was coming close. Then he smelled a wonderful fragrance in the air.
which overtook him totally, and then, dancing with delicate dance steps, Lord Krishna, who is decorated with anchor bells and has a beautiful fragrance, moved into the vision of Narada Muni. And when Narada Muni looked at the beauty of the Lord's body, I mean his limbs, his face, the lotus eyes, which were very large and extended to his ears. We have not seen such beauty, no? The eyes are little, in the Nandi Mugi's case, they are closed at the moment, the eyes of a normal human being are just here. But imagine these lotus eyes of the Lord. He saw the Lord's smile about, he saw the Lord's lavanya, that is, lavanya is a certain sweetness which comes out of his body and pours out of his body and puts everything around into a beautiful, beautiful light. But after some time he lost his meditation. He jumped up. He had forgotten who he was. He has also lost the vision of the Lord, and he became desperate. He had only one question: where are you, Krishna? And he tried again to sit down to do the same meditational steps and chant the same mantras. But Prabhupada says in the purport to this verse, which describes Narada Muni's sadness, that no matter how much Narada Muni tried, there was no mechanic process to bring the Lord back. There's a discussion between a disciple and a guru. The disciple says, "Dear Guru Maharaj, what can I do to become enlightened in Krishna consciousness?" And the guru says, "You can't do much more than you can do to make the sun rise." Can we do something to make the sun rise? No. You cannot do much more than you can do than to make the sun rise. Then the disciple said, "But why do you give all these rules and regulations? Why do you describe so many practices?" And the guru answered, "I'm giving you all these practices so that you are not asleep when the sun rises." you follow the wisdom of this. We cannot, even by our japa retreat, make the Lord appear. He appears like the sun on his own will, by his own desire. But what we can do is we can purify our heart and make us a little bit more sensitive and receptive for Krishna's appearance, so that when Krishna decides to give us the mercy, we are not too covered or too asleep, and we can realize this. This is a very beautiful narration between guru and disciple. So Narada Muni tried at first to do the same steps which had brought him to that he could see the Lord, but then there was the Lord did not appear. However, and this is important for our holy name retreat, however, he spoke to Narada Muni. And he said, "I have appeared just once for you so that your desire, your eagerness to see me again is awakened. By this eager desire to have my darshan, you will purify all the traces of material attachment." My dear devotees, if we have not seen Krishna, or if we have not made a breakthrough experience during our Japa retreat and felt his presence. It doesn't really matter so much as long as we remain eager, desirous, and yearn for the Lord's appearance again. No? This is so Narada Muni understood it, and he had a certain conclusion. His conclusion was, let me go through the world, let me not observe the social convention of ordinary people, but let me freely chant and dance. Let me chant the holy name of the Lord, and totally satisfied in heart, and also non-envious, it's described, on others, he waited for that time. You are naturally curious, what is that time? That time is the time which all of us carry around but do not know. It's the time when we die. All of you, it is fixed this time. You have it already in your pocket this time. The exact day, time, minute, the way it happens. But we are kept in ignorance about this time because perhaps we would be too panicful or whatever. So he waited for that time. When the time came, fully purified in heart by his practice of chanting these the glories of the Lord, he left the body. It is described, death was for him like a thunderclap. At the time of his death, he immediately developed his spiritual body and went home back to Godhead. Just like at the time of the thunderclap, clash, there's immediately lightning, which is visible on the under the blue clouds. No? So he saw that. What I find very important, very nice in this narration is Narada Muni came and arrived at a lake, and standing nearby there was this banyan tree, and then as he sat under the banyan tree, he was so fortunate to have a darshan of the Lord. However, it was only a momentarily darshan, which enticed him, which charmed him, which convinced him, I only want that. I want nothing else in my life. And so then he took to a life where he chanted the holy name. He says later, when I chant the holy name, the Lord appears on my heart as if called for. He says, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, and Krishna says, here I am, and is on the heart. And a little later he says, it is personally experienced by me that people who are full of anxieties can find immediately satisfaction and happiness in the heart by chanting the holy name. Why is it personally experienced? Well, he was still small. We speak here of a young Narada Muni. He must be a little older than 5 years, but with 5 years he left his home. I can imagine it was traumatic. If you have lost your only protector in this world, your mother at the age of 5, and he went through these jungles. These jungles were not jungles like the Slovenian jungles. We hoped that we would see a bear at least who would come, most probably he ran away because we were so loud in our kirtan. But these were tigers, there were wild elephants, and all kinds. And but he was fearless because he felt Krishna is always with me. And finally, yeah, after the darshan, he remained fully satisfied in chanting the holy name. So I think we can also chant one kirtan now. I will see that maybe Gokrishna can sing, no? And we can. Who is here? Who is Ramahari? You are trained in academia. Would you like to hold the microphones?
Make use of my training.
Training is fully utilized. So one has to go to the harmonium, and the other has to go through the mouth. Do you have the cutters? Or did you? Yeah, I have.
Krishna Prastaya
Bhutale. Yes.
Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deva. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Thank you. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Yeah.
really forgot to thank our Moni Vratapabhu and our Madhava Mishra, is that the right name? Yes, for installing this amazing sound thing. It is really clear. I think you can all hear nicely. Mm. My dear devotees, I would like to just do what we wanted to do, or what we usually did in the afternoon session. I thought it's a good place to do it here. Do you agree? Okay. We now rush back. We will come late back, and it will be questionable if it is possible for us to create the same atmosphere. I wanted to just point out, as perhaps my last message during this Holy Name retreat, that there is a secret inner orientation which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught those who wanted to, who would follow him in the future. He would say that, no, I have not seen Krishna, but I long to see Krishna. This mood is called the mood of Vipralamba. Vipralamba, interestingly, means to attain that what is lying in the distance. The mood of longing for Krishna, the mood of eager desire to be in Krishna's presence, is really the guarantee that we will meet Krishna, who we may feel at the moment to be distant and far away. In other words, you don't have to meet Krishna, you have to long for Krishna, and then you meet him. You follow this? Is an almost paradoxical statement. With this idea, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sang a verse which is, so to say, underlying the whole mood of his Sankirtan movement. Now, the verse is, I think, well known to a few of you. If you know, please join in with me. Ayi nanda tanuya kinkaram patitam mam vishame bhavam budo kripaya tava para pankaja stita duli sadrisham vichintaya. O my Lord, O Krishna, O son of Maharaj Nanda, I'm actually your eternal servant. But because of my own activities, my fruitive acts for sense gratification, I have fallen now in this horrible ocean of nescience, of ignorance. Now please, be causelessly merciful to me and consider me a particle of dust at your lotus feet. With this last sentence, consider me a particle of dust, Mahaprabhu says, you have lotus feet, and the lotus has lotus petals, but it also has these, I don't really know in English, this pollen, you know, these, they are little stems, and then if you touch them, your finger becomes yellow. You know, what is it?
Pollen.
Oh yes, we say pollen. So consider me like a little part of these pollen. With this he says, I belong to you, just like this flower dust belongs to the lotus. It's unnatural if what belongs to you has fallen away from you. I have fallen away from you, and this is quite unnatural. But please lift me up. I'm drowning in this ocean of material life. there are lust, is greed and anger and envy are like big fish in this ocean, ready to swallow me. Imagine you're in the sea surrounded by crocodile. I mean, crocodiles are not in the sea, but in Austria I saw an ocean crocodile also. There's few species. Sharks, perhaps, no? Imagine you are surrounded by them. So in the same way as a swimmer, a helpless swimmer who is drowning is surrounded by these fishes who just want to eat him up. Please see, my life has become very miserable. I'm in anxiety. The waves of material life are tossing me here and there, making my life miserable. You may say, I don't see any waves at the moment. The analogy wants to show something to you. Just like waves move people in this, who are in an ocean, in the same way, you are not free to move. You are being moved, not on your own volition, but you're moved by your karma. Thanks, Krishna, you were moved to come here. Fupi, the wave just brought you here, pong, so that you sit now in this amphitheater, and so on. Mahaprabhu continues to say, in this ocean, there are sometimes weeds coming by. These are the good things which karma, jnana, and yoga can give us. But if I want to hold on to these weeds, these seaweeds, they won't keep me from drowning. They will provide a very poor shelter. So in the same way, yes, we find some shelter sometimes in family life and things which money can purchase and so on, but it doesn't provide a permanent shelter for the soul. My only hope, Mahaprabhu says now in this situation, is that as I'm drowning, kindly come and pick me up and bring me to the back home to Godhead. There's also a shloka in the Vilap Kusumanjali. Some of you have appreciated this new book series of His Holiness Shivaram Maharaj. And there in shloka 8, the devotee prays, O Radharani, beloved damsel of Braja, I am so much exhausted from swimming in the wild ocean of misery. I'm lost. Kindly pick me up on the infallible boat of your causeless mercy, guide me to the wonderful sanctuary of your lotus feet. So, whether you pray to Krishna or to Radharani, she can pick us up from this ocean, where we are quite helpless, really. And I would like to tell you in this connection a little pastime about someone who was picked up by the mercy of Radharani. This is a famous story in Vrindavan. It's told from grandmother to grandchild. The story tells us that there was this one tree who had flowers that didn't have any fragrance. These trees were thorny and their flowers were absolutely, in a spiritual way, useless because they couldn't be used by Radha and Krishna. So this tree, this particular tree, felt so useless because he couldn't have any service. He must have felt like some of us sometimes, who feel so useless, so far away from actual spiritual life. So that this flower on this tree decided to commit suicide. The flower waited on top of the tree for that moment when Krishna passed by, surrounded with Radha and the gopis. And as Krishna was just passing by underneath this thorny tree with this useless flowers who had no fragrance, this particular flower just jumped up from the top of the tree, fell down before the feet of Krishna, and Krishna was just making the next step where he would trample the flower and would give up the body under the lotus feet of Krishna. Radha saw this, and Radha thinking, it's a tree from Vrindavan, flower from Vrindavan. So she bent down and she took that flower from the ground and gave it to Krishna and said, "See this, Krishna, this flower is desperate. It has no hope to survive without your mercy." So Krishna took that flower and put it in his crown, on the, because Radha requested him. And from this day on, this flower has a name. It's called the Krishna Chuda flower. If you go to Vrindavan, ask for Krishna Chuda flowers. It was a useless flower, but Radha Rani came by and picked the flower up and put it to Krishna. I want to show you something which is actually a secret for many, many devotees. This is a picture. Can you see?
Yes.
It's a picture of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. So on this picture, there is one particular symbol, and I'm not sure if you can see from the distance. It's a chariot. Mm-hmm. Can you see?
Yes.
The chariot is here on this lotus feet. Yes. Why does Radha Rani have a chariot or a car on her feet, you might ask? Well, the explanation is like this. If someone walks on his own, he will not be able to move very far and very swiftly. However, if he jumps into a chariot which comes by, then he will move very, very swiftly. So, on his own power or on one's own power, we will not be able to go very, very far in our spiritual life. However, if we take shelter in this mood of longing, then it might be that Radha Rani comes by with her chariot and picks us up. There's a second meaning in the chariot of Radha's lotus feet. Krishna doesn't have a chariot, by the way. He also has no Ferrari on his feet or something. There's no vehicle on his feet. The second meaning is when you are in a battle and you fight on the ground, you don't stand so much chances. But if you get on an elevated chariot, from that elevated position on the chariot, you can fight much easier. So if you are alone fighting against these sharks and of lust and anger in the ocean of material life, you don't stand so much a chance. But if you take shelter at the lotus feet of Radha and to Krishna, the idea is of taking shelter, you will be very, very, very quickly elevated, and you will move fastly, and you will be in a position of fighting successfully. I would like to end this little presentation on the mood of longing, long for Krishna's, for Radha, for their help, and then this help will be given. I want to end with my favorite poem. I like poetry when it says something. And I wanted to read you a poem from Rumi, which is very touching, very heart-touching. The poem is very well known. It is called Love Dogs. One night a man was crying. Krishna, Krishna. In the original sense here, it's Allah, Allah. No. One night a man was crying, and his lips grew sweet because of praising the Lord. Until a cynic came and said, "So, I've heard you calling out, but have you ever gotten any response?" Someone might do the same with you. "So, you were at the Holy Name Immersion Retreat in Slovenia. You've chanted more. Has Krishna answered?" The man had no answer for that. He stopped praying and fell into a confused sleep. Remember, he had done this the whole night, and now he was stopped and he slept. He dreamt and he saw Kidara. This is the Paramatma, equivalent to Paramatma. He saw Paramatma, the guide of souls, in a thick green foliage, you know, amongst trees. And this Lord said, "Why did you stop praising?" The man answered back, "Because I never heard anything back." "Ah, you don't know. This longing which you express, that is the return message. The grief you cry out from draws you toward union. Pure sadness, now your pure sadness that wants help is the secret cup of life. Listen to the moan," moan means crying, "of a dog for its master. That winning means that howling is the connection. They are love dogs. No one knows the names of. Give your life to be one of them." This is very powerful. If you chant, my dear devotees, with this longing, almost like the dog in the night howls for his master, woo, 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 that longing is already Krishna's investment in you. That longing is already Krishna's gift to you. And this longing is the thing which will bring Krishna to you. Wonderful. Therefore, this mood, Vipralamba, the mood of longing, I have fallen into this horrible ocean of nations. Please consider me a particle of dust at your lotus feet. That is good. And I believe such a holy name retreat works on many levels. First, I could see when you were chanting just now in this last kirtan, which I think all of us, we felt touched by the kirtan, no? I could see you were all in a very serious and Krishna conscious mood. I was also seeing you during the whole retreat, sometimes being in this mood, you know. Of course, you were also in the joyful mood, and that is very good. That is one reason why I like to come here, to be witnessing your natural joy. But you were also in this mood of longing. That is very nice. That is very good. Keep that on, you know, keep that going. Remember the trees under which you sat, and the narration of Narada Muni, who under one tree nearby a lake. It was a banyan tree, but it was similar to this here. Who met the Lord, and then the Lord told him, I regret it. I have only shown you myself one time to you in this life, but I have done this to increase the longing for you. No? To chant in a mood of longing will help you to lose your attachment to illusions, and which will make you which only bring more confusion into us. But to just long for Krishna, that's already the perfection. We don't need much more. Yes. So, perhaps Maharaj, you would like to say something on this subject of longing? Is something coming up in your mind?
I think you know the verse. Maybe you can recite it. I don't remember the whole verse. Prayers by the Six Goswami, Srinivasacharya, in his last verse. Hey Radhe Rajike Chete Chalalite Nandasun Kota Sri Govardhana Patale. Who knows the verse? That's as much as I know. But that verse is crying out. They're crying. I mean, not just speaking, but crying. Where is Radharani? Where is Govardhan? Jamuna. So they're longing in deep separation. And the mood of separation is really, as Maharaj says, it's like something distant in the future. There's one little particular pastime that illustrates Radharani's love for Krishna in that mood, that it becomes so strong that Radharani and Krishna were sitting together, and they were just enjoying each other's company, and there was a bee flying around. And it kept hitting and going in front of Radharani, and it was causing some disturbance. So Madho Mangal, one of Krishna's friends, were there also, and he was seeing the bee was disturbing, so he came and he started to shoo the bee away. He was shooing the bee away, and after some time the bee was gone, and then he said to Radharani, Maru's gone. Maru's gone. Maru's gone. Oh, Maru. She became so much spiritual anxiety. She was thinking, Krishna's gone, and he's right there. But as soon as she heard, Maru's gone. Maru is another name for Krishna, but it also means bee. Because Krishna is like a bee. Because he always goes for the honey. So in that mood, although she's right next to Krishna, Krishna's right there, just by hearing that Madhu's gone, it's too much. And she's feeling that mood of separation. So that's one of the beautiful pastimes that illustrates just hearing something, although it's not manifested in reality, still it causes that mood of longing. So it's a very hard to understand mood, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives us a little bit of a formula. He said we should be longing and chasing after Krishna. And how we do that is the mood of our service. we want to serve in such a way that Krishna wants to come and personally accept our service. In other words, we want to do it in such a way that it's with full absorption, attention, and devotion. And in that mood, we're actually calling out to Krishna to come and be with me. Please accept my service. And that's Mahaprabhu's teaching, and he says, and in that continuous mood of serving like that, then Krishna comes. And then he accepts our service, and then he leaves again. Just to increase that desire more and more and more. And that's his mood. He's always trying to bring out that love more and more and more by every once in a while appearing in our life in some way. We feel we have a realization, we have some experience of unlimited happiness or some great understanding of transcendental knowledge, and then it leaves. It comes by way of his grace, and it leaves by way of his desire. So Krishna comes in different ways. But I think what Maharaj was saying, that in Narada Muni, because he had such longing for Krishna, actually Krishna personally appeared. But then he left. He did that, you know, when he was with was in Rasa dance. And this is considered to be the utmost principle of transcendental loving relationship in the mood of Madhurya Ras, or conjugal love. And Krishna was there with the gopis and dancing. Radharani was also. But at one point, Radharani was feeling like she wasn't getting enough attention. Although Krishna manifests himself in different forms of himself to satisfy each and every gopi accordingly, still Radharani left, and Krishna thought, what is the use of this dance without Radharani? So he left the dance to find Radharani, and he's going through the forest, and now the gopis are missing Krishna. So they're wondering, where did Krishna go? So they're chasing after Krishna, and Krishna's chasing after Radha. And the gopis are so mad in separation from Krishna that they're asking the trees, where did Krishna go? They're asking the animals in the forest, did you see Krishna? Whatever object they come across, they were sure that that person or that object could tell them where Krishna was. They had that great hope. So in that mood of longing, there is hope. There is this element of hope that keeps that longing strong. As soon as you lose that hope, then you've reached perfection. That means you can't get him, and then he comes. Because then you realize it's not possible by my own efforts. Still, I want Krishna, but what can I do? And then somehow or other, he appears and then he disappears again. So the gopis were chasing after Krishna. And then Krishna assumed a four-armed form. And he became his manifestation of Narayan. And the gopis came, and they said, oh, there's Narayan. I'm sure he knows where Krishna is. So they offered her, Om Namo Narayan, obeisances. Have you seen Krishna? No response. Oh, he can't help. Let's go. Let's keep looking for Krishna. So they went on. And then just so happens that, as it's described, Radharani also came. And Krishna had his forearm form as Narayan. But because her love is so strong and so complete, he dropped two arms. He couldn't remain hidden. And then they were together, and then both of them were feeling the happiness of each other's presence. And then Krishna took Radharani on his shoulders, and they were going through the forest, and they were enjoying each other's company, and just feeling so happy. And then Radharani started to think, ah, Krishna loves me more than anyone. And that was a mistake. And Krishna ran underneath a low-hanging branch, and Radharani had to grab onto the branch or be hit by the branch. She grabbed on, and Krishna kept going. She got a little bit of spiritual pride in there. So, but that was more or less an element of teachings for that. As soon as that, if you get favored by Krishna, or if there's some happiness that you comes by way of your devotional service, if you become somewhat thinking it is because of my efforts, it happens. And then a little bit of pride comes, and we start to think we're special. And then Krishna's gone, just to remind us, it's me, it's all my mercy. So, but that's the mood. That mood is, what is it? Ayin, Maharaj said it. What is that other verse that comes right after that? Yugaitam nimeshena chakshusha pravishaitam shunyaitam jagat sarvam govinda virahe name. That mood of separation and longing seems like forever. It says, when you're happy, time goes fast. When you're sad, time goes slow. And when you wait, time stops. The clock doesn't move. If you're waiting for Krishna, it seems like forever, although it's not. So, but then it goes on to say, but if you love, then there is no time. Love is above all time.
Oh. Wow.
So this is Mahaprabhu's message to us, that we should always be in the mood of longing for Krishna. Mm-hmm. And that is our way, and we show that by our enthusiasm and our devotion in our service, especially in our chanting.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much, Maharaj. Thank you. Yes, so Maharaj has also left us with two practical things, he has left us with, there are two practical things in which we can do to develop this mood which will bring Krishna to us, this mood of longing. One is just to become a little bit realistic and see that you cannot do it on your own strengths. We can call this the drowning man realization. Whoa, I'm drowning. I need help. Hopefully a boat comes by and saves me. So the second, hopefully Krishna gives his mercy to me. And the second is, do something in the meantime. I liked very much how Maharaj said, if we express our desire for Krishna through the mood of longing, through the mood of service, in our service, that is how we can do something really practical. Good. I hope that you will be. We all will be picked up and brought to Krishna by the incredible mercy which is available for us. I'm now thinking a little bit how we should conclude this stay here. What do you think, what if we chant two more rounds here? Is that good, or do you, what do you think, Ananta?
Yes.
Sounds good, no? I also feel that would be the highlight of, or that would be here. Then let's please all stay together for two more rounds. And then we go together
perhaps, but I know you have service, yes. Then we can go together. Okay, is that a good idea?
Yes.
Krishna. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadigo Bhaktavinda. So we have learned a little formula. What was the formula? Isha. Is Prabhu, some of you are talking. Please let us all, we want to create this energy by doing things together. So what could that mean in a situation like this one? We are perhaps tired, perhaps hungry, or perhaps we feel, now I have to chant two rounds. So if we do it with this mindset, do you think we will make a very spiritual experience here?
No.
So what can we do to catch our mind? We could have an intention, no? Mm-hmm. We could formulate an intention for us.
Yeah. Can I give the intention?
At the moment I'm trying to bring people to a certain... the intention could be, these are my only two rounds here in nature with the devotees. Let me try this. I heard something about longing for Krishna, Narada Muni, the love dogs, Srimati Radharani, so many informations. So this could be an intention that I want to do, I want to do chant good rounds. Then the second point comes. What was that?
Sincerity.
What could that mean in this situation? Anachitana, I see there's something interesting. I see you looking in this direction. No, not so? Good. What could the sincerity mean in this situation? Any idea? I'm asking you. Yes?
I do it just to please the other devotees.
This is sincerity. So you will chant to please the devotees?
Yeah, because if I do it, that'll inspire them also.
So Maharaj says, if he chants, we are all inspired. This is his sincere desire. We can see. Good. This is one motivation. Sincerity, what could it mean in here in this situation? Are you with me?
Yes.
But I don't hear anything.
The real me.
The real me is the... Yes, we have to find the real me, yes.
From this position you have to...
This is a... sincerity means without pretense, means, okay. Yes, sincerity, and attention is clear. Whenever our mind wanders, we return, bring it back. Okay, so everyone, let us sit straight. So we will watch you and we'll become inspired.
I don't fall over again. I fall over, it's not ecstasy.
Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Rama, Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Rama, Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.